Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 24th of April, recording at 9:34 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. In Asia, the big story was China's dramatic advance over 9% on the Shanghai indices and Shenzhen indices. And that led to further strength in Hong Kong, including the H share market. More on that big China development later. Elsewhere, what else can we say? The European stock markets sort of seesawed a little bit, but saw some weakness. Well, they were mixed. They saw some weakness when Wall Street came in a little lower. Initially, Wall Street then rallied, helped allegedly by the fact that Merrill Lynch kept its dividend. But that's just, you know, market noise. And that sort of stuff. The real reason is more demand than supply. The Dow, for instance, rallied up over 160 points, but then those gains were halved and towards the close, but still respectable upside action in here today. Although I noticed that the NASDAQ has fallen. It's been quite volatile. The NASDAQ future has fallen a bit in after hours trading. Now, looking around, what else can we see here? The U.S. dollar showed big gains today. Government bonds were very weak. Going back to the dollar, for instance, the euro has fallen back to 156.88. It's down 2 cents. We see the dollar, the Swiss franc is at 103.50. That's 2 cents as well. The Aussie, excuse me, has fallen back nearly a full point to 93.95. So good strong rebound by the U.S. dollar. More on that in a moment. And commodities with that dollar strengthening were mostly weaker, although tin and zinc managed small gains, and lumber, which has been quite weak recently, put in a less wooden performance here today with $6.8 on the upside. Okay. Oh, crude oil, that's important as well, down over $2, currently down $2.35 at $115.95. All right. So what's going on here overall? Well, first the China story. We've been mentioning that China had been taking measures to improve stock market sentiment somewhat, and also emphasizing the fact that it had fallen 50% and was down near an area of previous support, and that 50% decline, psychologically at any rate, would probably trigger further action on the part of the regulators in China. And the item that was announced yesterday that was certainly a catalyst here today was the stamp duty on stock trading. That was reduced to 0.1% from 0.3% today, effective today. And you might remember that last year, during the soaring of the China stock market, when the government was trying to prevent the bubble from inflating even further, that they raised that stamp duty on stock trading. So that's been completely reversed. Now, I think back, was it last week? Or was it on Monday? I think they said something about shareholders selling more than 1% of a stock were required to do so in single trades. Owen's got an article on this that covers these points. And in December, they tripled to $30 billion, the amount overseas institutions can invest in yuan-dominated stocks and bonds, and they also earlier this year ended a 5-month freeze on the sale of new mutual funds. So step by step by step, and I think this has had the effect of pulling back on a catapult, and finally this weapon was fully loaded, and we've seen the action in here today with this dramatic stock market rise. Now, China had rallied also on Tuesday and Wednesday, so this is the first time in a long time that we've seen three consecutive days up on those mainland China indices, and it was just a huge upward gap. Now, for me, that's game, set, and technical match, that the low is in, and we are going to see higher levels by China. It's just a question of how much ranging we get. And in other words, how many steps do we get, or how quickly does the move actually unfold on the upside? And then a somewhat discredited forecast of mine, but I'm happy to roll it out again at this time, I think it's justifiable, is that I had always said that I did not feel that China would want to see the weakest major stock market in the world in the run-up to the Olympics. Now, I'd mentioned that way back in 2005 when the market was starting to bottom out and recover, and when the government was taking quite a number of steps to revive interest in the stock market. And what got in the way of my Olympics forecast, where I had originally felt that we might see pretty well clear sailing through to the Olympics, was, of course, we had the big bubble action because the market did so well, and so China stepped in to partially deflate that, did that very, very effectively, and now they're reversing direction once again. So this is a bullish environment for everything China related, as I've said before. It also has broader implications in the sense that I've talked about the China leash effect. Now, they'll get a delayed reaction, perhaps, because people will say, oh, well, is it going to go back and fill the gap? Is it going to go back in and retest the low? Is it just a temporary low? Because they've seen a number of months of continuous downward pressure in that stock market. As far as I'm concerned, this is the real deal. As I've said, the low is in, and it will hold. Now, and we will get a very significant recovery from current levels. Now, the China leash effect, therefore, has reversed. That was pushed to the far extreme in terms of being a negative factor for other stock markets around the globe, and particularly in the Asian region. And now the pendulum is starting to swing in the other direction. The China leash effect will be positive. The Wall Street leash effect has been positive recently, and that has helped stock markets as well. Now, there are plenty of problems out there for investors to worry about. There is the food and energy inflation, resources inflation generally, that we have seen. That's not going to go away by any means, although it may subside for a bit, just as we see with precious metals. I hadn't mentioned precious metals were hard hit in here today. More on that in a moment. So this is not exactly a Goldilocks environment, and nor is it likely to be anytime soon. Therefore, we have to expect some choppy action overall. But the big story is that valuations have improved considerably around the world. Massive liquidity infusions have occurred, and that liquidity will find its way into the markets that appear most attractive at any given time. And stock markets, which were regarded with shock, awe, and horror only a short while ago, are gaining followers with each day. In other words, people are coming back each day that these indices maintain this reasonably steady performance. That doesn't mean that the banking crisis is entirely over. I've said that would be a, require a long convalescence, but it's a pretty well known story for the most part. Doesn't mean that one has to rush in and buy financial banks. Why would we want to do that? There are other more attractive areas, not least in Asia. Okay, these bonds have weakened quite sharply in here. I wish I'd opened more short positions. I am short the JGBs, and I had been short the Treasury bonds and took some profits there earlier before the subsequent rally back up to retest the highs on those futures contracts. I'm not sure I want to chase these down. They've been hit pretty hard in here short term, but this is bearing out a forecast here of mine, which is that bond prices would weaken, these long-dated government bond prices would weaken as confidence improved in global stock markets. Now, that ought to also usher in an improvement for some of the quite high-yielding corporate debt. And the yields on these long-dated government bonds are just not attractive. So I think that we have seen important peaks in long-dated government bond prices, therefore important lows in the yields for these long-dated government bonds, and that they will range higher over time. Long-dated government bond yields will range higher just as stock markets will perform quite well. But long-dated government bond yields would have to go up an awfully long way to, I think, become a problem for stock markets. Once again, don't be surprised by plenty of volatility in this brave new world that we inhabit, but it's certainly far from entirely bearish. Now, what about this US dollar? It's been ranging for a while down here in response to that earlier oversold condition, and I would give today's dynamic the benefit of the doubt, unless it is reversed very, very quickly. In other words, it looks like that resistance to the advancing euro at 160, and the euro has been one of the strongest, looks like that's going to hold here for at least the short term. I've never been advocating a big dollar rally in here. But I have said that it's overextended on the downside, that it had accelerated somewhat. We'd had that last G8 meeting, and the dollar was high on the agenda there. Nobody really wants the dollar, not even the Americans want the dollar to go herring down again from here, and that it was prone to short covering. And I think we saw plenty of short covering in here today, and we may get a little bit more. Now, that would help to shake some of the money out of commodity markets. You mentioned that crude oil price getting up to the $120 level, or virtually. And I mentioned a couple of days ago in my audio the psychological resistance we'd see in the sort of 120 to 125 region. So looks like oil has commenced at least a little pullback in here to today. And precious metals, of course, it peaked last month, and I maintain that this is a medium-term correction for precious metals. So we've seen gold now back down below $900. It's currently trading after hours at 887, and I think that's could quite easily move to the mid to lower $800 dollar region. So I'm in no hurry to move back in there. I've written a piece on that in here today. And the food commodities have been somewhat mixed, but a lot of evidence that those accelerating upward trends had spilled over into medium-term corrections, as they so often do, to the point of making it almost inevitable when you get those big parabolic price accelerations. So we're seeing a bit of respite in that food price inflation in terms of the futures contracts, but don't expect that to show up in supermarket prices. I think rather the opposite will happen here, more likely, in the sense that supermarket prices are a lagging indicator, and they will stay firm, really, for quite some time, and quite probably rise from current levels. But my main subject here, of course, is what these financial market prices are going to do, and I think that we will see some further ranging reactions in most of these commodities. And on that point, I'll wrap, say it's a wrap, and all the best to all of you.